Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served the Valley for decades. The reason they've served the Valley for decades is they find the best insurance at the right price for their customers every time. By the way, Penn State Wrestling gets rolling on Friday night with Lock Haven. Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, joins us on tomorrow's show to preview the season. Nathan Davis is the head basketball coach at Bucknell, back home again. Great to have him on board with us today as Bucknell gets ready to open the season with Shenandoah Friday night, 7 o'clock at Soica, and then Wake Forest is here Sunday at 1. Coach, welcome. It's great to have you with us again.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me back on.
And let's get to it right away. You've had a preseason to check out your team and how the parts fit together. How well did the preseason go?
Well, I think we're where we need to be. It's an ongoing process. Fortunately, we have lots to work on. If we were as good as we could be right now, they wouldn't really need to pay me anymore. But we've got good pieces. We've got balance. We can throw it inside and score. We can step out and shoot the ball. We've got to put on the floor. And then we have capable defenders. So it's a good group, but we've got a lot of work to do to get where we need to be.
How long did it take for you to really get to know them, personality-wise, skill set? Conversely, then, for them to know you?
Well, I think we're still, to an extent, we're still trying to figure each other out. We obviously spend a lot of time together, so we're getting more and more comfortable and familiar with one another. But it's like offense and defense, it's an ongoing process that we'll play out over the year as we get to know each other's personalities even better. But we're getting a good feel for each other, I think.
What kind of leadership are you seeing from certain guys that really can make your job a little easier?
Well, I think having four strong seniors that have been around and played in NCAA tournament and played on teams that have won the league and played on teams that finished a little bit lower, they've got an idea and understanding of how hard it is to win and the ability to hold each other accountable to make sure that guys are bringing their best effort every day so that you can worry about coaching X's and O's and not effort's been a big deal and a big plus.
How much of the concentration for you, Nathan, is actually on your basketball team? And then how much do you like to throw in from your personal point on your own time about really getting in-depth on a scouting report?
Well, now that we're getting the games that will count, we've had scrimmages and things like that, so we're spending 99% of your time on yourselves and one, maybe 1 or 5% of your time just looking at what teams your scrimmage are coming up with so that you're prepared for it. So there's nothing they do in the scrimmage that you haven't gotten your guys at least a few looks at. But now it'll get more in-depth on what each team is doing, what we need to take away, how they're going to play. So it'll back up. But it's still, it's early in the year. It's going to be a lot about making sure that we're improving while finding time to make sure we prepare for each game.
How much do you prepare run your practice based on situations versus the actual scrimmage itself?
Well, the way we practice is we keep score on a lot of different things. Anytime we're really going 4-on-4 or 5-on-5, we're keeping score. So that lends itself to we could have any number of 5, 6, 7 situations a day based on how it's going. We could have a team down 4 with 30 seconds left. We could have a team could be tied with 3 seconds left. So the way we kind of structure practices, a lot of that will sort itself out through the individual practices themselves.
Matchups are always going to be important. Where do you see along the way a couple of guys as you watch practice that you feel more often than not will give you a favorable matchup?
I mean, anytime you talk about our team, you got to start with Chris Haas and Nana Fallon. Chris obviously is returning first team all league players. He's known as a great shooter, but really he's an outstanding scorer. He's athletic. He can finish above the rim. He can put the ball on the floor and pull up or get to the rim, and he can shoot the ball with range, whether it's set or off screens. And then Nana's just a load in the post. He can go right. He can go left. He can up and under you, finishes around the basket, catches everything. And really one of the big surprises and pleasant surprises has been how good a passer he really is. If you try to double down on him or really give help, he's a willing passer and finds guys.
Chris Haas was a known entity to when I watched him last year and just played like the known entity that he is. Nana Fallon's the guy that I looked at last year and said, wow, who is this kid? Couple of things about him in the post. You mentioned his passing part. Where's he better and more comfortable in the post based on tape you've watched versus the reality of practice?
Well, I think that, one, he's a year older, so he's stronger. So physically, he can get better position and hold it. I think he's developed counter moves to just the righty jump hook. He can go left. He can now make counter moves off both those. So it's just he brings an enormous amount of problems to whoever's trying to guard him if they're trying to do it one-on-one.
What about running the point? What do you see there?
Well, Stephen Brown's had a great fall. I mean, he started a lot at the end of the year. He's very fast. He can make shots. He can get guy shots, so he's had a good year. We have Kimball McKenzie, a freshman who's played well this preseason, and John Osnaro's back, and he's got that can step in there as we have fouls and different issues that he can step in and certainly do a good job, too. He's more of a scorer at that position, but you can never have too many guys who can make shots on the floor at one time.
I always felt that Ryan Frazier was a good defender, scrappy player, but limited offensively. Then last year I felt like he got much better offensively. What kind of preseasons did he had for you?
He's been exactly what we need. I mean, he's a guy that can make shots. You mentioned he can get to the rim, but really what makes him very valuable for us is that he works defensively, and he's a guy that can affect the game without having to score the ball as well. So, you know, if he doesn't score, he's out there doing things that you need done to help you win.
Have you started to settle in the direction of a rotation, Nathan? Or is this going to be an ongoing process for a couple of weeks to get a feel?
I think every year it takes time. You got to see how you have an idea right now about the way you want to go, but guys are going to improve throughout the year. Some years there's going to be constant competition. Just because you're playing more now doesn't mean you're going to be playing more at the end. You got to go out and earn it every day. So we've got an idea where we're going to go at the moment, but like you said, in 2 weeks it could change. In a month it could change. You got to keep competing, keep trying to get better.
Okay. Now you open up with Shenandoah, then you have Wake. What kind of feel can you give us for Shenandoah?
Shenandoah is they're going to be young. When I was in Randolph Macon, they were in our league, so they're going to play. They're actually going to run a lot of Princeton offense, which will be good for us to help prepare for us. We're going to see so much of it this year. They play multiple defenses. They're pretty athletic, so it should be a good challenge.
You mentioned the Princeton offense. Why have so many teams, in your opinion, gone to using that offense? I mean, very not as slow as Princeton does or as deliberate, but why do you think so many teams have gone to it?
I think one thing it does is it gives you a little bit of structure, and it does create room to drive and set ball screens and space the floor nicely. So, and then, like you said, there's obviously people that think it's a way to cover up deficiencies in talent as well.
You're going to have your tip-off reception coming up tomorrow night. And what kind of response have you felt from the Lewisburg community as you get ready for this season?
Well, I think it's just like it was 10 years ago when I was here. Everyone's excited, looking forward to the start of the year. Basketball is obviously a big deal up here in this area. And our guys are looking forward to getting out there on Friday and getting a chance to play in front of everybody.
Yeah, and then you have Wake. I'm not going to get too much into that because you need, obviously, to take it one game at a time. How much does it help, though, having a name program near the front of this for you?
Well, I think anytime you can get an ACC or a Big Ten or a Big East school to come to town, it creates a certain buzz. And Wake Forest certainly has had a long and proud tradition in basketball. Danny Manning's there now. He's a great, great player, one of the best college players ever. He's kind of gone in there and kind of revitalized it. I think they have good talent. I think that he does a good job coaching them. But anytime you can get a team like Wake Forest or Villanova or Penn State, what have you, to come in, it creates a buzz on campus in the community.
Can't wait to watch your product on the floor, Nathan. Thanks so much for the time. It'll be coming up Friday night at 7, and then Wake Sunday at 1. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
All right, Nathan Davis, head basketball coach at Bucknell. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Import car buyers, stop! Before you buy a Toyota, Nissan, Subaru, or Honda, you've got to check out the amazing value of a new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. 2015 Hyundai Accents starting at only $13,999. Or buy for only $213 per month. That's right, a new car for only $213 a month. And it comes with America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles. In the market for a Corolla or Sentra or maybe a Civic, you owe it to yourself to check out the 2016 Elantra. Hands down, the best value in its class. And SMC has them starting at $15,999. Buy for only $243 a month. Stop. And get the peace of mind you deserve knowing you got the best car, the best warranty, and the best price. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And at sunburyhyundai.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers.
Tax and tax extra. Financing based on 2.99% for 72 months with HMF with approved credit. Not all buyers will qualify.
Radio PA's Ask the Governor program brings you extended Q&As with Governor Tom Wolf, and you have a chance to be part of the show every month. Have a question or comment about taxes, government spending, or any other topic that impacts your life? Well, send your questions and comments to Governor Wolf anytime by visiting pamatters.com and clicking the Ask the Governor link at the top of the page. We'll present your questions to Governor Wolf during every show. John in Mount Lebanon wrote in, when are the politicians going to Hanover Township for our next question? And Phil writes in, will people buying food with access Wilkes-Barre's our next stop? Anthony. The award-winning Ask the Governor program from Radio Pennsylvania, now featuring Governor Tom Wolf. Visit PAMatters.com to have your voice heard and to view video clips from all our Ask the Governor tapings. Ask the Governor is a production of Radio PA, Top Flight Media, and PAMatters.com.
This is Governor Tom Wolf. I'm ready to answer your questions, so stop by PAMatters.com today.
10 foot.
All military service personnel, Ultimate Express Car Wash in Sealands Grove is honoring veterans and active duty military personnel with our best exterior wash and Simonize hot wax for free this Wednesday, rain or shine. It's our salute to you for serving our country. Ultimate Express Car Wash is proud to be a participant of Grace for Vets Car Wash operators who honor military service with a free wash. Remember Ultimate Express Car Wash with unlimited wash club prices starting at $17.95 a month. Family plans as low as $12.95 a month, plus exclusive discounts on extras and detailing. That's the free Veterans Car Wash, our best exterior wash and Simonize hot wax this Wednesday only, rain or shine. One car wash only, please. Open 7:30 a.m. till 7 p.m. 7 days a week. Routes 11 and 15 across from Longhorn Steakhouse in Sealands Grove and online at washmydirtycar.com. Clean, shiny cars, period.
Don't pay stupid tax. Listen to the Dave Ramsey Show.
I would never borrow on a 401k. Here's why. Number one, the 4% that you're paying yourself means you've unplugged a good mutual fund or series of mutual funds that last year you would have earned 20% on. Number two, when you leave the company, your loan is considered an early withdrawal. And if you do not pay it off within 60 days, you get hit with a 10% penalty plus your tax rate.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weekdays at 1 on News Radio 1070 WKOK and on the WKOK app.
Shamokin Dam Orchestra going wild on this Monday. Brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Along the way, college campuses and a college atmosphere bring about change, and one happened today at Missouri. Here's the full story from the wire service as to how it played out. The president of the University of Missouri system stepped down today amid criticism of his handling of student complaints about race and discrimination. President Tim Wolf said his resignation was effective immediately. He made the announcement at the start of what had been expected to be a long closed-door meeting of the school's governing board. He largely preempted that session in a halting statement that was simultaneously apologetic, clumsy, and defiant. This is not the way change comes about, he said, alluding to recent protests. We stopped listening to each other. He urged students, faculty, and staff to use his resignation to heal and start talking again to make change necessary. A poor audio feed from one of the board members, though, who was attending the meeting on a conference call, left Wolf standing awkwardly at the podium for 3 minutes after reading only the opening statement until they finally got it straightened out that they could continue. The race complaints came to a head over the weekend when at least 30 black football players announced that they would not participate in team activities until Wolf was gone. For months, black student groups have complained at the University of Missouri of racial slurs and other slights on the overwhelmingly white flagship campus of the state's four-college system. Frustrations flared during a homecoming parade on October 10th when protesters blocked Wolf's car, and he did not get out and talk to them. They were removed by police. Black members of the football team joined the outcry on Saturday night. By Sunday, a campus sit-in had grown. Graduate student groups planned walkouts, and politicians, naturally, began to weigh in. Black members of the football team joined that outcry, and until Monday, Wolf did not indicate that he had any intention of stepping down. He agreed in a statement issued Sunday that change is needed and said the university is working to draw up a plan by April to promote diversity and tolerance. Missouri Governor Jay Nixon said in a statement, Wolf's resignation was a necessary step toward healing and reconciliation on the University of Missouri campus. There is more work to do, and now the University of Missouri must move forward, united by a commitment to excellence and respect and tolerance to all. The Tigers' next game is Saturday against BYU at Arrowhead Stadium, the home of the NFL's Kansas City Chiefs. Canceling it would have cost the school more than $1 million. Players have confirmed that the game will be played as scheduled, and they will go to practice tomorrow. They did not practice yesterday. They are not scheduled to practice today. The athletes of color on the campus of the University of Missouri and the football team truly believe in justice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, the players said in a statement. We will no longer participate in any football-related activities until President Tim Wolf resigns or is removed due to the negligence toward marginalized students and their experience. And then in capitals, they put, "We are united." Football coach Gary Pinkle expressed solidarity on Twitter, posting a picture of the team and the coaches locking arms. His tweet, "The Mizzou family stands as one. We are united. We are behind our players." Pinkle is expected to address the media later today. Practice and other team activities were canceled Sunday. A statement issued by Pinkle and Missouri Athletic Director Mac Rhodes linked the return of the protesting football players to the end of a hunger strike by a black graduate student, which began November 2nd. He had vowed not to eat until Wolf is gone. Our focus right now is on the health of Jonathan Butler, the concerns of our student athletes, and working with our community to address this serious issue, the statement said. Butler, appearing on CNN in the wake of Wolf's resignation, said his strike is over. He said, "This is the first good step toward change." Former Missouri linebacker Michael Sam said he brought Butler water on Wednesday and noted how much more attention was put on the school in less than a week and what sports means. He said, "There was nobody here. Two tents and a reporter," Sam said. "Things change when sports get involved." The protests began after the student government president, who is black, said in September that people in a passing pickup truck shouted racial slurs at him. In early October, other members of a black student organization said slurs were hurled at them by an apparent drunken white student. Also, a swastika, drawn in feces, was found recently in a dormitory bathroom. Many of the protests have been linked by an organization called Concerned Student 1950, which gets its name from the year the university accepted its first black student. Its members besieged Wolf's car at the parade on November 2nd, and they have been conducting a sit-in on campus in the plaza since November 2nd. Actually, the parade was October 10th. Two trucks flying Confederate flags drove past the site Sunday, a move many saw as an attempt at intimidation. At least 150 students gathered at the plaza Sunday night to pray, sing, and read Bible verses, a larger crowd than on previous days, and many had planned to camp there overnight despite temperatures that had dropped into the upper 30s. Also joining the protest effort were two graduate student groups that called for walkouts today and tomorrow, and the student government at the Columbia campus, the Missouri Students Association. The association said in a letter Sunday to the system's governing body that there's been an increase in tension and inequality with no systemic support since last year's fatal shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, which is about 120 miles east of Columbia. Brown, an unarmed black 18-year-old, was shot and killed by a white police officer during a struggle, and the death helped spawn the Black Lives Matter movement rebuking police treatment of minorities. It should be pointed out, as an addendum to that, though, that the police officer in question was never indicted, and the Department of Justice, after a complete investigation, also did not indict him. The association said Wolf heads a university leadership that has undeniably failed us and the students that we represent. He has not only enabled a culture of racism since the start of his tenure in 2012, but blatantly ignored and disrespected the concerns of students, the group wrote. Concerned Students 1950 demanded, among other things, that Wolf acknowledge his white male privilege and that he immediately be removed, and that the school adopt a mandatory racial awareness program and hire more black faculty and staff. One of the sit-in participants, Abigail Hollis, a black graduate undergraduate, said the campus is unhealthy and unsafe for us. The way white students are treated is in stark contrast to the way black students and other marginalized students are treated, and it's time for that to stop. Hollis said it's 2015. The school's undergraduate population is 79% white and 8% black. The state, 83% white and 12% black. Wolf 57 is a former software executive and Missouri Business School graduate whose father taught at the university. He was hired in 2011 as president, succeeding another former business executive who also lacked experience in academia. Lawmakers and elected officials began to weigh in Sunday. The chairman of the Missouri House of Higher Education Committee, Republican Representative Steve Cookson, said in a statement that Wolf can no longer effectively lead and should leave his post. Joining him in calling for Wolf's resignation was Assistant House Minority Leader Gail McCann Beatty, the highest-ranking black member of that chamber. So that is the story in Missouri today, with the players threatening to not practice or play and following through with no practice yesterday. They were not scheduled to practice today. Now with him resigning, they say they will practice tomorrow and they'll play BYU Saturday at Arrowhead.
Steve, do you remember any time where a coach and part of the athletic administration actually joined in this type of a thing? That's what really surprised me the most, was that not only the players are doing this, but the coach joined in, and the athletic director also had a statement on it. I was a little surprised by that. I mean, you're really going against your employer there. I mean, that can be a dangerous move if it doesn't fall. I mean, just from a personal standpoint for the coach and athletic director.
Here are your options. What do you do at this point? Do you look at 30 players on your team in a racially charged situation and tell them no? Or do you look at the racially charged situation, show compassion toward them because you're around them every single day, and back them up? And I think if I'm in his shoes as the head football coach, I assess the situation, understand how angry they are, feel that their anger is justified, and I back my players up. If it costs me my job, so be it, but then that will add fuel to the entire fire.
Well, and I think you're right. I think the coach there took a little bit of a risk, stood out, and I think he's going to be better off for it. But what surprised me more than anything was the athletic director taking a stand as well, along with the coach and the team.
The players don't want to practice. They don't want to play because they feel there's injustice on campus. The coach did not call for the president to resign. The athletic director did not call for the president to resign. All they did was back up the players and saying, if they're not going to practice and play, we're not going to practice and play.
That's true.
So they did not call for the president to resign. They backed up the players on the team and put up a unified front with them, which I think emotionally is a benefit in the locker room.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's, when I've talked to them repeatedly, said there isn't enough insurance in the world for Kevin. But they try. And they give it to him at the best price possible.
That's also true.
I was talking to him one day, and I said, you know, what are his insurance needs? They said, do you have a couple days? I'm like, okay.
I asked about golf insurance. They said they'd have to create a policy to protect the spectators.
You know what's bad?
And the gallery.
You know what's bad about your golf game? Is that normally you are safe in your golf game if you are standing behind the guy hitting the ball.
Not always the case with me.
As Drew and I found out, even there, we aren't safe.
I've said this many times. Coach Hort, we played golf a few times, and he said with the straightest face, you know what I like about your golf game? So what's that, Coach? Nothing.
We are standing on, sixth hole, Drew? Sixth hole?
I really wish this would go away, but it never does. I make the mistake of even talking about it.
Oh, no, that's okay. Don't worry about it. It's a great story.
Yeah.
Sixth hole, it's a par three up the hill. Is it five?
It's five.
Yeah, it's five. So we play the par three, then we come back down the par four, which is along the creek, and then we cross over the bridge, and we play that uphill par three. I had a 9-iron in there this year. It was really nice.
Yeah, I had a 5-iron, and I was up on the tee of six.
Yeah, I know. We didn't use your shot.
No, we didn't use my shot.
I don't think we used a lot of your shots. He hits it, and he hits the railing of the bridge.
Which goes, by the way, between four and five. Not like it was right in front of the fairway or anything.
Slightly left.
It was a bit left.
Drew and I decide to cover the lower extremities of our body. The fourth in our group covered his face.
They were on radio. Covering the money. I don't know. Maybe that's where the money was.
That's not what Drew and I thought. And the ball went back behind your feet and rolled 10 to 12 feet back.
Yeah. And actually almost landed where it started.
You had a minus 4 yards on the tee shot. Thus, even standing in back of you when you hit means we still needed to go and get more insurance from the Purdy's at the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament.
It was a good thing they were there.
No, I hadn't bought it yet. I'm still out there. You don't go out and get, hey, I got hit with Kevin's shot. Can I buy more insurance now? I'm sorry. You can only use what you currently have.
I just want to say I love the Sunbury Motors Studio.
So do I.
I mean, you got some nice memorabilia here. You've got a little homey touch to it as well.
Can I picture of James Franklin and me?
Yeah, I see that.
Pat Chambers? Me? Joe? Me?
I see your Bahama vacation there.
No, that's actually Rick and Sue Berry who made the donation. That's their home in San Rafael, California.
It does look like a Bahama vacation, though.
Yes, that was a plaque, though, that was given to us.
Okay.
Each one of us got one of those. And then I've got, let's see.
Well, you have this is what you've talked about before. I'll have to tweet this a little bit later, but it's your views from the three venues that you spend most of your time at.
Beaver Stadium from my spot, Jordan Center from my spot, Medler Field Lebrano spot from my spot, then a picture of Jack, Dick, Tarman, Moeller, me. I'm going to put a really nice picture of Drew and me up here.
That'd be great. That'll be a nice addition. I see you in the Nittany Line as well.
You know what that is? I'll tell you what that is.
All right.
Okay. The significance of that picture. That's why I put it up there. When they had the day where the sports broadcasting complex was dedicated, the Nittany Line took a lot of time with my mother. A lot of time with my mother. And that picture is of me at a Learfield event up at Beaver Stadium, thanking him for all the time he took with my mom. My mom passed away
like 6-7 months after.
I was gonna say, it wasn't too long after that, I remember.
That me thanking him, because that was the same guy, for how he treated her and how much it meant to me. That's why that picture's significant, because that's what that's about. That one there. And there's a couple pictures of him and me. And see, and then that picture, that's Ireland from the stage.
Oh, that see, that's the picture you sent. That's the one we had that we actually tweeted. You sent me that picture, and then we actually put that on Facebook and tweeted that one.
That
too.
Jack and I are standing on stage. And
how far back does that? I mean, that's got to be more than a city block.
That's more than a city block. It's all filled. But not only, but it doesn't tell you the whole story. It was also to the left and the right completely filled like that, too. To the left and right of the stage, because there's street. That's another street coming through there.
Wow.
And it was left and right completely filled. And we walked up on stage, and Jack looked at me and goes, wow. I said, well, you've seen a lot. He goes, not this. And that was incredible. Now, ironically, there are two guys standing to the left behind the white shirts there. And one of them is Henry Mayle. And his brother Mark, they went to Dublin. And I saw Henry on Saturday after the game. And my first ever Penn State basketball game, which was November of 1981 on the radio network. Henry was the color analyst. And he showed me the picture from his perspective of Jack and me up on stage. And then Mark took the picture.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah.
I had still the picture on my phone, and his brother Mark widened out the picture and pointed out where they were so I could see them in the picture. He said, now here's the cool thing. And they said, they showed me the picture of Jack and me up on stage at the time. I said, oh, this is very nice.
That's nice.
So that's what all these pictures are. That's Football Eve 2010 with Joe and me in the field. That's what that one is.
All right, what's the lighthouse, though?
Oh, that's the Christmas decoration for upstairs, the only place I could store it.
No, I thought it maybe had significance because that was a vacation spot or something like that.
No. There's nothing to do with that. That's just,
I mean, it's a nice-looking lighthouse.
Yeah, I bought it at Lowe's. It's on sale. You can get it yourself.
Oh, that'd be great. If it's not here tomorrow, you'll know where it is.
That's okay. Yeah, you will send it back. I do know where you work, and I will drive out there.
It's not going to be where I work, though. That's the problem. And you know where I live, too, so that doesn't count either. Yeah. Forget that. So, that's not going to work. Darn it.
So if I were you, I'd go on discount day and find one. All right.
Hey, if you had to, and I know what your answer is going to be, but humor me on this one. Humor me on this one. If you had to take a stab at where Penn State would potentially be for bowl game, will it be somewhere warm this year?
Yes.
Okay. Now, that's step number one.
Okay. Let's start. Let's,
where do you okay, think let's, that will
let's,
be?
Okay. But let's start with this. Okay. They are not allowed to go to the Pinstripe Bowl.
Right.
Okay. Because under the new bowl system, which I completely agree with, in order to vary the experience up for everybody, you don't go to back-to-back bowls. In fact, they try to really do it in a rotation where Penn State probably wouldn't be in the Pinstripe Bowl, for example, if it's still part of the rotation, I think for 6 or 7 years. They're out of Detroit. That's done. I think Penn State is in a range of any bowl game from December 30th on.
See, if I had to make a guess.
That's okay, I'm done with this.
No, all right, let me see. I want to see if I get this right.
But I just gave you, from December 30th on is where Penn State, I think, right now lands. Now, when do they announce this? Well, they could announce it on December 6th, which I think they will no matter what. Believe it or not, there is a scenario where the College Football Final Four and the New Year's Six may not be announced until December 13th. You look dumbfounded.
No, I'm just trying to figure out what I'm missing on why they would wait.
There is a one-loss team, Navy, playing Army on the 12th.
Well, yeah, the Army, Navy would throw a monkey wrench
into
that.
And Navy has an opportunity to represent the... what's the term or the non-Power 5. I don't want to say mid-major. That's not correct.
No.
But whatever it's called.
Not sure what it
is. But they have an opportunity to be the representative. They only have one loss. They just beat Memphis. Keenan Reynolds, who impressed the daylights out of me when I watched him in 2012 here against Penn State, is now a senior. Unbelievable option quarterback. Unbelievable. Just terrific at it. And Navy's only lost once, and that one loss is to Notre Dame.
Well, they are not going to lose to Army, I can tell you that.
But
I'm feeling pretty confident with that.
But there's still a road for them to go. I think they still have to play. They still have to play Houston, right? I think Navy still has to play Houston, or if they do, it'd be in the championship game, something like that. But there actually is a scenario where Navy can crash the party, and because of that, they may not announce the New Year's Six and the college football playoff teams until the 13th.
Navy still has SMU.
Win.
Tulsa.
Win.
At Houston.
Loss.
And then Army.
Yeah.
And their only other loss was a 3-point loss to Notre Dame.
Yes.
And that was Notre Dame.
And they might beat Houston. They're very good, because I believe on Friday's show, check out the podcast, who said Memphis has big trouble.
You did say Memphis has, because we were talking about Memphis earlier in the week.
Being, I said they have big trouble. I said Navy may beat them. And Navy did beat them. The weeding out process. TCU got weeded out. Michigan State got weeded out.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis got weeded out. Right? For the undefeated novices, Toledo got weeded out.
Okay. We talked about that the other day, too. They said there's not going to be 8 undefeated teams by the time this is done, because some of them had to play each other.
Well, first of all, Michigan State already lost to Nebraska,
right.
So they're done. That does them in. Can they still win the division? Yes. If they win out, which includes a win over Ohio State, they can win the division and represent the Big Ten East against the West, which right now is obviously Iowa, which is undefeated.
And there's another weird end to a game. Wasn't it Nebraska, Michigan State that had that strange ending?
Yes. And by the way, I expect Notre Dame to be one of the 4 teams tomorrow night. I do. Now, that gets weeded out. They play Stanford.
See, now my guess for Penn State's bowl game would have been the Holiday Bowl in San Diego.
Well, they were there Saturday. Just so you know, they were there.
I don't doubt it. I mean, it's a smart move. And every time they go to the Holiday Bowl, they bring a ton of people because
they bring
a ton of people.
Only been there once.
I thought there was, I remember, well, let's see, that would have been probably what, early 90s?
1989. Blair Thomas ran for 173 yards. Was the MVP of the game, co-MVP with Ty Detmer.
See, I was thinking 91 or 92.
Gary Brown of Williamsport ripped the ball out of Ty Detmer's hands, ran it back for a touchdown. Andre Collins picked off a 2-point conversion, ran it back 102 yards for a touchdown. David Daniels made a juggling catch in the end zone. Penn State won the game 50-39.
My iPad can't even search that fast.
Oh, just look it up. You'll be fine.
Oh, my goodness. Like doing a talk show with Google.
I was there.
That was like 25 years ago.
So what?
Can't remember yesterday.
Nobody can tell. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car. Picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself. And negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word. Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
I like things easy peasy. So when I need a few things, I go to Walgreens. Because schlepping my way through 5 aisles at the grocery store when all I want is milk isn't my idea of a good time. Not when Walgreens has short lines and easy parking, so I can pop in quick for things like milk, paper towels, and toothpaste. Easiest errand ever. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Now with card, M&M pouches are 2 for $5 or $2.99 each. And Lipton tea is 2 for $3 or $1.79 each.
Advance Auto Parts knows what makes a car guy a car guy. It's working through the unexpected surprises that spring up with every project. It's character, and it isn't rattled by a little thing like a dead battery. Especially when you can get a new one online at AdvanceAutoParts.com and pick it up in store just 30 minutes later. We'll even install it for free so you can get back to fixing faster. Advance Auto Parts, for guys who love getting under the hood.
Most vehicles, most locations. See store for details.
It's about your life and your money. It's the Dave Ramsey Show.
We're going to go ahead and do a reading of the will while everybody's sitting there. And then there's no question about what Dad wanted. It's all laid out real clear. That is a huge gift that you give to your family instead of leaving them in turmoil. Well, I don't know. And he always promised me this, but he never told anybody else. And all that bunch of crap that goes around this stuff.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weekdays at 1 on News Radio 1070 WKOK and on the WKOK app.
Can you believe it's November already? Time sure flies when you're selling lots of vehicles at Blaze Alexander Buick Cadillac GMC. It's Joe Santer again, here to thank everyone who's purchased a new or used vehicle from us throughout the month of October. It feels great to give to the Thyra M. Humphrey Center for Breast Health, and we couldn't do it without your help. This month, we're going to give to everyone with the best prices on all of our leftover 2015s in stock. Take the popular Cadillac SRX, for example. We're taking over $8,000 off. Or the sporty Cadillac CTS, over $10,000 off. Or even the still hard-to-find Cadillac Escalade Platinum. We have it reduced down to $84,988, which is almost $12,000 off. We've even got great lease specials going on until the end of the month. So if you don't like talking turkey, then Blaze Alexander Buick Cadillac GMC is the place to go. We always have the best inventory at the lowest prices. Check it out at BlazeAlexanderSunbury.com and be sure to like us on Facebook. You know what they say, if you want to save some dough, you got to buy from Joe. Only at Blaze Alexander Buick Cadillac GMC. We're taking deals the other guys won't.
What a way to go.
If that's what it's called, it's what it's called. I don't insert sponsor name if it has, like, holiday still attached to it. It's simple as that. Kevin says, you don't usually use sponsor names when it comes to talking about that. I said,
well, you would have to in the case of a few bowls, yes.
The Outback Bowl, you'd have to.
Right.
Tax Slayer does not use the word gator anymore.
No, that's true.
They don't.
What was the Foster Farms Bowl before it was Foster Farms?
I think it was just created.
Well, okay.
The game used to be at AT&T Park, and it was called the Kraft Hunger Bowl.
Yes. Okay. I remember that one.
And they played, and AT&T Park is not conducive to a college football game in terms of setup, both on the field and in the seats. It's a baseball park. And when they opened up the Niners' new stadium in Santa Clara, which is where they're going to play the Super Bowl this year, they took the game.
Are we at the point now in college football where there are so many bowl games that we can't fill them?
No, I think.
How close are we to that tipping point? We can't be too far away.
But yeah, but they must feel that they have enough to do it. I mean,
wasn't it 2 years ago that they were? That there were only a couple of teams left?
Well, let me put it this way. Last year, Temple didn't go to a bowl game, and they were eligible. Okay?
We've got to be getting close to that tipping point.
There's four or five. I think they're usually about four or five over. I think what they're adding, more this year, right?
There's at least two new ones.
Two more bowl games this year?
Well, the Bahamas Bowl was new last year, right?
Yes, and I know you've been aching for us to take the show on the road and go
there. Got to go to that bowl. I will carry your bags. I'll do whatever you need done.
Got it. Don't worry about it.
I'll even drive you to the stadium. I will be your chauffeur.
Yeah, okay. New Mexico, Las Vegas, the Camellia Bowl.
Is that new this year or was that new last year?
No, that's not. That's down the Citrus, that's in Montgomery. Actually, that might be new. I think that's new. That's Montgomery, Alabama. That's the new Camellia Bowl. Auto Nation Cure Bowl, that's in the Citrus Bowl. That's new. Carrier Bowl, no. Miami Beach Bowl, no. Famous potato, famous Idaho potato.
No, that's not.
Boca Raton is the second year. Poinsettia. GoDaddy. Good news, the GoDaddy Bowl is not in January. It's December 23rd.
The real question is, will it still have Danica Patrick as part of it?
No.
No.
Bahamas and Hawaii Bowl, St. Petersburg, Sun Bowl, Heart of Dallas, Pinstripe, Independence, Foster Farms.
Royal Pulp, oh, that's the sponsor for the Vegas Bowl. I was going to say Royal Purple, I don't remember, but that's Vegas Bowl.
But the two new ones are front-loaded on the opening day. It is the Camellia Bowl in Montgomery and the Cure Bowl in Orlando. That gives Orlando three bowl games.
What about Miami Beach Bowl? I don't remember that.
That was last year.
Last year, the first?
That's the one where BYU got in the brawl. See, a memorable opening. Let's see. Everything else, Pinstripe, Independence, Foster Farms. 28th is the Military and Quick Lane. That's the Big Ten game.
You said Celebration Bowl, right?
No. Armed Forces on the 29th. Russell Athletic, again, back in the Citrus Bowl. The Arizona Bowl, which started last year. And the Texas Bowl. Then on the 30th, now you get the Birmingham Bowl, Belk Bowl. Now you got Music City and Holiday. And then 31st is the Chick-fil-A, then the Cotton Bowl, the Orange Bowl. The Cotton and Orange have the semifinals this year.
You know, I talked to several people that are big college football fans, and they said that they're going to actually end up missing the semifinal game because of events they have on New Year's Eve.
Well, that's the issue, and they won't change it. They were asked to change it to the second this year, and they would not do it. And I don't understand that. Outback, Citrus, Fiesta Rose, and Sugar Bowls all on the first. The second has, and these are the four games you hate. Tax Slayer.
No. I don't like them after New Year's Day, but.
Well, it's January 2nd. I mean, Drew, am I wrong?
No. I mean, I don't like games after New Year's Day, but I definitely don't like games after the national championship game either.
Drew, am I wrong? There are no games after the national championship game.
I know. That was my point.
There never has been a game after the national championship
game. That's my point. I don't like those.
Considering I've never done it before.
But I hate games after New Year's Day. You're right.
Tax Slayer, Liberty, Alamo, and Cactus Bowls are all January 2nd, which, am I wrong here? Are they after New Year's Day?
They would be after New Year's Day, yes. Thank you.
And then the national championship game is at the...
Did you mention Celebration? Is Celebration a new one? Back on the 19th?
There is no Celebration Bowl on the 19th.
December 19th, Atlanta, Georgia, Celebration. According to the NCAA, there is a Celebration Bowl.
Not on my bowl schedule. My bowl schedule says New Mexico, Las Vegas, Camellia, Cure Bowl, and New Orleans Bowl.
Second one down.
A MEAC against the SWAC.
It's a bowl game?
Please.
They're still calling it a bowl.
Oh. At the beginning of the show, we had, to our credit, inched our way to the cliff, and we're about ready to go over. Then, I feel like I pulled it back in. Again, we have gone to the edge of the sports cliff. I'm about ready to fall down.
It says bowl. Therefore, it's a bowl game.
It says bowl, and to you that means 10 pins.
Sometimes a few less if you've done really well on the first ball. Then it's called a spare.
And I think you just described yourself on the show.
That's it. I'm getting in my Ford Fusion and I'm getting out of here.
Jeff Byers tomorrow on Penn State Wrestling. Their season starts Friday night. Wrestling talk tomorrow here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.